In today's episode, Tesla approaches a milestone. Ford and Volkswagen joined forces. Bentley recalls the Bentayga. Will Toyota remain profitable? German tuner upgrades to Audi S8. And automotive YouTuber shout-outs. Be sure to subscribe to this channel. Tap that like button. Leave a comment below. And share this video out. Be sure to sign up for my newsletter at gearvlogs.com for updates and giveaways from this channel. In our first story, Tesla approaches the milestone of the world's most valuable automaker. From Automotive News. Let's check out what the article has to say. Tokyo, the surge of Tesla Inc. shares so far this month moved Elon Musk's company even closer to displacing Toyota Motor Corp. as the world's most valuable automaker. With a market capitalization of more than $190 billion, Tesla will still have some distance to close to reach Toyota's $210 billion valuation, but includes treasure shares according to data compiled by Bloomberg. A rally of about another 11% in Tesla shares could see it climb the crown if Toyota holds steady. With Tesla already up 23% shares beginning of June. Shares of Tesla closed last Thursday, trading down 5.1% to $972.84. Tesla's valuation comes despite a gulf in the scale of two automakers. The Palo Alto company, California-based maker of electric cars, produced 103,000 vehicles in the first quarter, or about 4% of the almost 2.4 billion made by Toyota. Tesla climbed another 9% Wednesday to close above 1,000 for the first time, as Musk, the CEO, told employees it was time to go all out. To put it, semi-truck into volume production, Wedbush Securities, Inc. touted the massive opportunity for the company in China, with Tesla appearing to be on track to reach 100,000 deliveries from its Shanghai factory in the first year. Tesla became the world's second most valuable automaker in January when it surpassed Volkswagen Group. It's now worth more than twice the German rival, which said Wednesday it will meet an end-of-summer deadline to start delivering its flagship ID.3 electric car. Stay tuned a little later into this podcast for an update on the ID.3. Tesla recently rallied has also been boosted by hype surrounding newly listed Nikola Corp, a battery electric and hydrogen fuel cell truck maker. Toyota, meanwhile, forecasts an 80% plunge in profits this year, down to about 10%. So far this year, trading about 17% lower than the record high hit in 2015. Toyota's market valuation includes the 14.3% of shares that Toyota itself holds as treasury stock, worth around $30 billion. Tesla doesn't hold any treasury shares according to data compiled by Bloomberg. Despite pioneering interest in fuel-efficient vehicles, with the Prius hybrid, Toyota was late to shift to EV, betting first on hydrogen fuel cells. The company is now changing course with a series of high-profile investments in EV, self-driving cars, and futuristic cities. My true mission is to completely redesign Toyota into a mobility company. Akio Toyoda, CEO and grandson of the automaker's founder, said last year. Tesla has 10 buy equivalent ratings, while 12 analysts recommend holding the shares and 15 advising clients to sell, while Toyota has 13 buy rating, 8 hold, and 1 sell, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. On to our next story. Ford and Volkswagen firm up ambitious alliance plans. Wide-ranging agreement will include new EV pickup truck and 2 vans, with more set to follow. Ford and Volkswagen bosses have finalized their wide-ranging global alliance, which will involve the two giants working together on electric cars, pickup trucks, vans, and autonomous technology. The companies initially agreed to work together on commercial vehicle development in January of 2019, with plans expanded to involve pickups and a Ford EV built on the Volkswagen Group's MEB platform last July. The two firms have now signed official agreements for the partnership and outlined full details of the projects that will be involved. Volkswagen last week finalized a £2.1 billion investment in Argo AI, an American autonomous driving startup company that Ford has already invested in. In a joint release, Ford and Volkswagen said that their alliance will help them to meet rapidly evolving needs of their respective customers in Europe and other regions by leveraging complementary strengths in mid-size pickup trucks and commercial and electric vehicles. The alliance will offer substantially savings for both firms, allowing them to develop new or refreshed offerings in key market segments with substantially reduced development costs. Estimates suggest that the combined savings of the agreement could reach $1 billion U.S. or £773 million. Volkswagen to provide platform for Ford EV. A key part of the agreement will be a Ford EV focused on the European market, due to arrive by 2023 and developed on the Volkswagen Group's electric MEB architecture. The firm says that the Ford machine will be highly differentiated and designed and engineered at the Americas firm's European base in Cologne, Germany. While details of the machine are scarce, Ford said it will add another compelling nameplate that will sit alongside the electric Mustang Mach-E. Ford has recently begun a trend of reviving old names for new vehicles, choosing to give it first bespoke EV Mustang branding and recent badging its new compact crossover as the Puma. It also reviving the Bronco in America. The two firms estimate that Ford could deliver 600,000 electric vehicles atop the MEB architecture, with Volkswagen saying the deal is another cornerstone in its EV strategy. While the MEB platform will underpin a range of EV vehicles from Volkswagen, Seat, Skoda, and Audi was also developed to enable it to be licensed to partners firms, helping the Volkswagen Group to achieve better economic scale. That volume could be key for Ford, while the Mustang Mach-E is due on sale in 2021. It has yet to announce further bespoke EV models, and the sale of the Volkswagen deal will likely prove key in meeting rising consumer demand and hitting its European Union CO2 targets. Previously hinted at, the firm said that they plan to explore additional ways to cooperate on electric vehicles. Ford and Volkswagen to team on vans and pickups. The alliance between the firms will include the development of 2 commercial vans and a pickup. The commercial vehicle segment is a key market for both firms in Europe, but particularly Ford, with most of its profits in the region coming from it. Ford will develop and build a new Volkswagen Amarok mid-size pickup that will go on sale in 2022 and which will effectively be twinned with the Ford Ranger. Volkswagen has already teased the design of the new Amarok while the model is popular in Europe, it would have been prohibitively expensive for Volkswagen to develop a new pickup platform purely for it. Ford will also develop a new one-tonneau cargo van for both firms, which will be the new version of the Ford Transit and Volkswagen Transporter, respectively. Volkswagen's commercial vehicles will use its new Caddy as a basis to develop and build a new Ford Transit Connect city van. The two firms expect the build to total around 8 million of the three shared machines across their lifespan. Argo AI to lead Ford and Volkswagen on autonomy efforts. Volkswagen invested in Argo AI completed last week will lead to both Ford and Volkswagen working to form distinct, highly capable autonomous vehicle business based on Argo AI's self-driving technology. The firm said that each independently chose to invest in Argo AI due to the technical leadership of the Pittsburgh-based firm's autonomous technology and will use their combined scale to help the startup expand its geographic testing reach. And now a brief message from one of our audio sponsors. Our next story. First deliveries of the Volkswagen ID.3 to begin in September with some features disabled. Volkswagen has confirmed that the ID.3 electric hatchback will go officially on sale on June 17th in most European countries, but to date is reserved for binding orders of the limited first edition variant. Customers who have already placed pre-orders for the ID.3 first edition will be given two options to choose from on delivery date of their new electric vehicle. The first is a delivery in early September, which will combine with a membership of the ID.3's First Mover Club, which, while the second one is having the car delivered later in the fourth quarter of the year, the German automaker will open the order books for the general public a month later in mid-July. The first batch of the ID.3 models will be delivered in early September, will not have the App Connect function and the distance feature in the heads-up display activated, with VW promising to activate them with a software update at the beginning of 2021. As a token of a thanks for their loyalty to the brand and a gesture of appreciation for their patience during the long wait until ordering kicked off, we are offering a all pre-bookers wishing to take possession of their ID.3 first in September a membership of the ID.3 First Mover Club, a spokesman for VW had stated. In addition, customers will take delivery of the ID.3 first edition in early September and are leasing their cars will not only receive free membership of the First Movers Club, but will also not pay any leasing rates for the first 3 months. Members of the First Movers Club will also receive a direct line to Volkswagen, not only for customer inquiries, but also for giving their feedback on their everyday experiences with the ID.3. For the car maker to use in future developments. Pre-bookers who will choose the second option, meaning a delivery date towards the end of the year, will receive their ID.3 first edition with all the functions and features activated from the get-go. The special first edition variant of the ID.3 is offered only with mid-level 53-kilowatt battery pack that offers a driving range of 261 miles or 420 kilometers. Power comes from a rear-mounted 201-horsepower electric motor that drives the rear wheels, and the model is compatible with 100-watt fast charging as standard. VW will eventually offer the ID.3 with three battery options in addition to the aforementioned 58 kilowatt hour option. The range will include both a more affordable 45 kilowatt battery with a driving range of 205 miles and a range topping 77 kilowatt version that will offer 342 miles of driving on full charge. Bentley recalls 6,000 Bentaygas globally due to fuel leak. Bentley has issued a global recall for over 6,000 Bentayga SUVs, including 1,892 units in the U.S. and 783 in Europe. The issue is a leak in the fuel supply line quick connector. A Bentley spokesperson told Auto News that the models in question are all V8 powered, built between January 2018 and March 2020, and that there have been no reports of accidents, injuries, or fires. Recalled components include the fuel system, gasoline hoses, lines, piping, and fittings. If a leak does occur, there will be an odor of fuel and a risk of an engine bay fire during ignition. Still, Bentley's estimated percentage of the vehicles involved with the defect is only 0.2%. Although this recall is precautionary measure, Bentley authorized retailers will replace the existing fuel quick connect with one made of an enhanced material and, where required, also upgrade the engine cooling fan software. This will take approximately an hour, said the luxury car maker in an official statement. According to the NHTSA, the supplier for those components is Virtus. On July 30th, 2018, the issue was first detected on a customer vehicle when the driver reported smelling fuel. In November of that same year, the cause of the defect was confirmed as material softening due to elevated temperatures. Between February and June of 2019, the British carmaker began looking for solutions, and in June, the design, sourcing, and validation of a new component took place. The next step involved improving the design process of hardware supplier Virtus. Bentley plans on notifying both car owner as well as dealers on July 31st, 2020. So I suggest contact, if you own a Bentayga, to contact your dealership, because I'm sure they're probably waiting for supplies to see if your vehicle is affected. And onto our next story. Toyota vows to remain profitable as the pandemic hits auto industry. Toyota Motor Company, or Corp, will remain profitable during the issues, using lessons it learned during the global financial crisis more than a decade ago. Toyota CEO told shareholders at a Japanese automaker annual meeting, as part of efforts to assist to cash-strapped customers, Toyota is relaxing auto loan payment deadlines and offering used rental cars instead of new ones, Japanese sales chief Sato said at the meeting. The pandemic has dented profits as automakers around the world saw showrooms close and shuttered factories, although they have started to reopen. Toyota and other automakers have sought loans and credit lines from banks, saying that they will keep investing in development. Although Japan has lifted its state of emergency, the outbreak has damaged the business of many smaller automotive industry players, with one Toyota supplier filing for bankruptcy last week. If we don't win, we wouldn't be able to support this industry and country, CEO said. We are different today from what we were dealing with during the financial crisis. Japan's biggest automaker won't change its plan to produce 3 million cars annually in the country, according to Toyota's chief of human resources officer. The company has halted some domestic factories from April through June. Toyota has warned profits will tumble 80% to a 9-year low and targeted operation profits of 500 billion yen or 4.7 billion US for the fiscal year through March. The target is not to plan but rather to minimize standard that it'll have to meet, said Toyota. At the meeting held at Toyota's headquarters in The company took precautionary measures to contain the virus spread. Staff checked temperatures of attendees, set up transparent partitions in front of speakers, and reduced the number of seats to about a third. Some 360 shareholders joined the meeting, far less than the previous meeting, where more than 5,500 people attended after the automator asked shareholders not to come. The gathering ended after an hour and 20 minutes, the shortest annual shareholder meeting since 2000. And on to the next story. 2020 Audi S8 with 690 horsepower upgrade from ABT accelerates like a supercar. The latest generation of Audi S8 is the fastest one ever, with the automaker quoting a 0 to 100 kilometer or 0 to 62 mile per hour time of 3.8 seconds. This means it accelerates more quickly than the 2020 Porsche 911 Carrera sports car, which needs 4.2 seconds to reach 62 miles per hour. Despite that, ABT Sportline believes there's a market for even faster Audi S8 models. The German tuner will try to lure customers with a performance upgrade that takes the 4-liter twin-turbo V8 engine from 571 PSI or 663 horsepower to 590 foot-pounds of torque to 700 PS or 690 horsepower and 649 foot-pounds of torque. As a result of performance, luxury sedan dispatches the 0 to 100 kilometer in sprint in 3.4 seconds. Will drivers feel the 0.4 second difference over a stock car? Probably not, but it certainly gives them bragging rights. In addition to the quicker acceleration, Audi S8 vehicles equipped with the ABT power and ceramic brakes also benefit from an optional top speed increase to 168 miles per hour. ABT Sportline reckons the stock Audi S8 looks sleek and understated, so the only visual upgrade to the car provided is a discrete carbon fiber rear spoiler that is not counting the ABT GR and FR wheels, available in 20 and 21 inch sizes. The 21 inch FR rim shown in the photos interprets the classic 5-spoke design and combines diamond machined outlines with a mystic black finish. ABT Sportline kept things suitable in the cabin too, as the only upgrades included in the program are the ABT start-stop switch cap and ABT shift knob covers. On to our next story. Car industry now, brands likely to do well post-pandemic. The Corona-19 crisis has been tough on the entire industry, but certain manufacturers, both small and large, stand to do well once things return to normal. The company's best place to emerge in a strong position from any global crisis tend to be large ones with global reach, allowing them to mitigate challenges in any single region. And a strong brand, it may sound cliche, but people do turn to brands they know in a time of crisis. That puts Toyota in good stead. It's the world's second largest automaker and has a lineup with well-appealed and a good news from Bernstein, which builds the popular Corolla and recently received major investments. How will small car makers cope? The crisis has presented small firms with very different challenges from major marquees. With limited cash reserves, the initial challenge for all of them have been survival. Schemes such as the UK's government furlough program have helped. Morgan resumed limited production in mid-May, initially finishing cars near completion. A small workforce has been tested. Social distancing measures before a wide reopening. Morgan expects a decrease in output as it adapts. But with lower production volumes and pre-existing waiting lists, Ariel's stretches years into the future, for example. Niche marquees should be insulated from any major decline in demand for new cars. A spokesman from Morgan has seen a short-term decrease in customer demand during the lockdown, but anticipates that it will quickly return to normal levels once dealers can open. How are major parts suppliers managing? Arlington Automotive Group, which employs 600 people and provides parts to Ford, Jaguar, Land Rover, and others, have called administrators in May, becoming the first major parts supplier in the UK to do so. It's a sad example of the strain that the shutdown has put on companies reliant on the automotive industry, but without the cash reserves of car maker giants, the resumption of production should help. But firms are facing a challenge to ensure a steady part supply to mitigate future disruptions. The global nature of car parts supplying helps especially with production in China having started up again in March. Carlex Design turned the Ford Ranger into a gargoyle. Be sure to check out the YouTube channel if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast to see the visual aids. So back to the story. Carlex Design, the company that recently released a sporty two-tone makeover of the Hyundai Santa Fe, doesn't solely focus passenger cars and crossover. It does trucks too, through a separate division called Pickup Design. Aftermarket firm has tweaked numerous trucks in the past, and the most recent project is a Ford Ranger. Carlex Design gave the midsize hauler a radical new look with a brutish body kit and lavish interior equipment. With headquarters in Asia and Europe, Carlex has put its hands on numerous trucks, including the Carbon Mercedes-Benz X-Class 6x6 seen last year. It has also done iterations of the Fiat Fullback, the Mitsubishi L200, Toyota Hilux, and the Nissan Navara, and the Volkswagen Amarok. Each has a unique appearance, and now they've joined by an American, the Ford Ranger, though we realize not all are produced in the U.S. The Carlex Ranger looks like a cross between a gargoyle and a supervillain. Several new parts give it a bit of savage appearance, such as a grille, front bumper, and skid plate, oversized wheel arches, sidestep bars, and a rear bed-mounted sports rack. It also features new five-spoke wheels, chunky tires, and a flashy body graphics. Additional Carlex Design logos are integrated on the front, side, and rear as well. Inside, the Ranger has been outfitted with updated seats. They have been reshaped and decorated with off-road seams and embossment motifs. They now wear top-quality leather and Alcantara 2 for more premium look and feel. The Carlex Design Ford Ranger package is available now. Visit Carlex Design for more information and photos. And to our next story. This one comes from Norway. Overzealous Norwegian police won't stop for a one or nothing during a chase. We've seen some pretty crazy police chases over the years, but few compared to this one from Norway. According to the publication outlet, the chase was sparked by two robbers who forced their way into a jewelry store and then ushered six people into a back room at gunpoint. The robbers then broke into numerous display cases and loaded up a bag with expensive watches and jewelry. Police were quickly notified, but the robbers left the store within a matter of minutes. However, they were quickly spotted by officers as they were riding a moped on hiking trails in Kuba Park. A moped? Really? I would have picked something more faster, like a motorcycle. Go figure on that one. This is where the action began, as you can see the patrol car from the dashboard footage enter the park and drive on, walking past. The robbers refused to stop, and so did the police. This resulted in a scary situation as the patrol car continued chasing the robbers and came within what appeared to be inches of innocent civilians. Despite the danger to the public, the chase continued and things even got more intense. In an effort to elude police, the robbers took a pedestrian bridge and narrowly avoided hitting a person pushing a stroller. This didn't stop the officers as they decided to drive onto the bridge and continue the chase even after having yet another close call with civilians. The chase ended in shortly thereafter as the robbers took a dirt path, and this gave the officers an opportunity to hit them and bring them to a halt. With the robbery apparently took place last year, the trial kicked off on Monday, and the video was apparently released as part of the case. Both robbers have reportedly confessed to the crime and are said to be facing a number of other charges. And link to the video will be in the video description for this article. I wish I could play it, but I can't chance any copyright strikes for the YouTube video channel. But if you head on over to the article, you can view the article itself on the website that while it's still up. And now for part of the section of the podcast where I give a fellow automotive YouTuber shout-outs on recent videos they have recently released at the time of this recording. So we will go through my recommendations for you guys to check out. Links to their videos will be in the video description. So here we go. First up, we have Urban Explorer uploaded a couple of videos on a current van build he's doing. This one titled, Actually Cut a Hole in the Roof to Fix a to Fit a Max Fan Deluxe. Basically, Urban Explorer is a friend of mine that I will be having hope shortly on a future interview about his channel and his builds. So he's doing a brand new van build, camper build. Definitely worth checking out. I've already caught a couple of his videos. He's, I think, on video number 3 of his build series, so definitely worth giving him a follow. Next up, we have another alum from my past guest, podcast guest alum, Hall of Fame, Normal Guy Supercar upload, a Fab Speed full X-Pipe exhaust DIY installation on his Ferrari F30. So definitely give him a check out. He has great informative information, so definitely go check him out. Next up we have here is Mini Attic uploaded a Mini Cooper S with a manual. Looks like they are returning back, so he has a video on that, so definitely go check him out. All links to these YouTubers will be in the video description down below if you want to check them out, or podcast description as well. Next up we have Sinclair Photos. Cocky Mustang driver nearly causes fight leaving and chicks car show. Ooh, that should be a good one. Surprised that they're having a car shows during the shutdown. I'll have to definitely check that one out. B is for Build uploaded a video. I bought Oscar, one of his employees, workers who helps him on his builds, his dream car or cars. It's time for another body swap. Oh boy, this should be interesting. And a local YouTuber, Danny P 1818, uploaded my Ferrari 458 GT3 broke down. Then we'll have to check him out and see what happened with his car. Next up, Manny Koshman adding another Bugatti to my collection. Definitely worth seeing. Manny's videos are always top notch, so definitely gotta see what he's adding to his collection. I heard he was selling his McLaren, so let's give him a follow and check out. Cletus McFarlane uploaded a video. Ruby gets a complete retune boost, building faster than ever, running like it should. Okay, brother. Fox Media uploaded a video. He never driven a Coyote Swap Fox. I told him to send it. That should be interesting. Been kind of the idea of doing a Coyote Swap Fox body. Comment down below if you want to see a project like that on the channel. Driveway Engineer uploaded a video. Safety Third, Junkyard Seatbelt Score for the C10. This should be good. Old Car Guy uploaded a video. Fixing the engine noise on the freshly rebuilt small block Chevy 350 on my 77 Chevy C10. Next up we have Shmi 150. My exclusive first drive in the new 2020 Ferrari 812 GTS. Spencer Burke finally addressing the biggest issue on his M3. Life Apollo's updated a video titled DDE Cease and Desist. Burlacker squashes fake Stradman beef. Doug DeMuro and Tavares Twitter battle. Question mark. And lastly, we have DDE's world's first $10,000 titanium Corvette C8 exhaust. Loud. So that brings us to the end of this episode 11 of the Gear Vlogs in the News podcast. So please be sure to subscribe to this channel if you're new here. Tap that like button. Leave a comment down below what you thought. Or if you have suggestions, be sure to share this video out. Also, head on over to gearvlogs.com and sign up for my newsletter so I can add you to a notification squad list so I can give you advanced access to these videos before they go public. And do me one last favor. Head on over to Instagram if you have an Instagram account, to my Instagram page, and do me a favor and hit that subscribe button. Follow me on Instagram. It's like only 544 followers. We can do better than that. So, yeah, give me a follow on Instagram. And if you have any tips or recommendations for stories that you want to see me cover, hit me up in the DMs on my Instagram so I can check out the stories. So, till next time, see you guys on Saturday. Peace out.